Once you kill a man for revenge, there's no going back. A voice in your head saying over and over, "That was awesome."
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and with me is my love, Joe.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, I'm looking forward to a comedy tonight. This is going to be a switcheroo.
I mean, yeah, this is before and after reviews where we go to a brand new movie in the theater and give our thoughts before and after, spoiler free, unless we figure we don't want to and we tell you. But there are instant thoughts, and tonight we are seeing The Naked Gun, and I don't know, do we call this a legacy sequel? Or do we call this just a sequel? Or because how does the terminology work on the legacy sequel?
I don't know.
Like you bring people back and you reference the old movie and you move on with new characters, would be a legacy sequel, right?
Is that what's going on here? Because, well, I literally don't know anything about this.
Well, all the original cast members are pretty much gone. I have a big hope that would be really funny if whoever Liam Neeson's mother is going to be, which they're saying that he's Frank Jr. So there's only one option there, and she's around.
Wait, so if it's Priscilla Presley, that's so bizarre.
But that's the funny joke, right? And they need to do a scene like that. And I think that'd be so funny. So that makes it a legacy sequel because they're saying that their fathers are all the original actors. George Kennedy. We have Hauser, Stingray from, he's going to play his son, George Kennedy's son.
Oh, he's going to play George Kennedy's son? So yeah. We're doing the sons. Okay.
That's in the trailer.
Okay. Okay.
And then they showed the guy looking at OJ's picture and he says, no.
No, yeah. That's right.
This is actually directed by one of the members of Lonely Island. Did you know that?
No. Oh my Kiva God, Schaefer. It's Akiva. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that either until just now. I knew this was produced by, I think, Seth MacFarlane and those guys.
Oh, okay. Okay. Awesome.
At least that's how I remember seeing in the trailer, but maybe I'm wrong. Hmm. Yeah, no, he's a producer. I was right.
Oh, okay. All right. So, I mean, he's playing Frank Drebin Jr.
Yes, and he's how old? And so that would be really funny if his mother is played by an actress around the same age.
I mean, if they're going to do that, I mean, Liam Neeson's 73 years old, okay? He's not a spring chicken.
No, that's exactly
but
right.
But also, neither is Priscilla Presley.
Exactly.
She's 80. Yeah. There's no way that she could have had him when she was 7.
I hope they do that. If they don't go for that joke, I'll be very upset. I think that's a great joke. I also like that they hired somebody who has a name that is very easy to confuse.
Yes, Leslie Nielsen
and Liam Neeson.
Although
it's kind of funny how it sounds when you say it, you're like, oh my God, that's funny.
Yeah, it is actually. I mean, I don't know how. Do you know anything about like how they came about with this Liam Neeson thing? Because I don't peg him for
a comedian. I do actually have.
I don't peg him that way.
I have some little bits of stuff that I think I could piece together. What happened was, Seth MacFarlane, when he was working on his own movies. He did A Million Ways to Die in the West. He said that he loved the idea of what the Zucker Brothers used to do, where they would take actors who are really like straight-faced, don't do comedy, and then put them in comedic roles. So he hired Liam Neeson to be the villain in A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Oh, that's right.
And he said he's really funny. So I think that that's how this kind of opened up. Like, wouldn't it be funny if we're going to do, who do we get right now who's an actor, who's an older actor that's extremely serious that could play in The Naked Gun? And it's like, perfect pick.
Yeah, I don't know about the perfect. I'm kind of like...
Well, we'll have to see. But I have a feeling that it's funny because he is so dry.
He is. And, you know, I peg him for just... He's like one of the... He's an action guy, you know? The Taken films.
Well, that only came of recent, too, within the last 20 years. Because he was a really dramatic actor.
Yeah, I guess. I mean... Yeah, I mean, he's been in some movies that I absolutely love, but they're all dramas.
When you think dramas, you think one of his earliest films, the genius dramatic film, Kroll.
If I
didn't say that out loud, I would be mad at myself later.
I mean, you know, Schindler's List.
I know, yeah.
It's just
remembering him in older movies. When was he not in something like We Love That? It's like a very 80s film, like just as a side character. Is he not in like The Last Dragon or something? Like he's just there?
I don't know. The Last Dragon, where'd you get that?
I just, like, that's one of the movies that came to mind. Because I remember when I think of The Last Dragon, I remember William H. Macy's the manager.
Oh, yeah.
It was really, and how weird it is when you see it. You're like, what the hell is he doing in this?
Oh, yeah.
So I think that Liam Neeson's career early on was like this.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I just always peg him for, like, you know. But then again, you know, he does different movies. I mean, he did Star Wars. You know, so.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, still an action role.
He's kind of done everything. So this kind of avenue is kind of great for him.
Yeah, I guess.
The cast is also awesome in this movie. So, I mean, there's Danny Houston from Yellowstone, who is the bad guy millionaire in the first few seasons. Then they just, like, kill him off.
Oh, okay,
Kevin Durant is going to show up in this movie, too. I mean, there's, like, a bunch of people we're going to recognize.
I'm such a dope. Like, I didn't even remember that he's in, like, actually one of my favorite movies of the 80s that I was, like, completely obsessed with.
Satisfaction?
Yes. Satisfaction.
I was going to say that, too. Yeah.
Yes. I love that movie with Justine Bateman and Julia Roberts and Britta Phillips, who's Jem. Such a nerd.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so he's... But he has done some different things, but I don't know about this. This is slapstick. I mean, this is out and out ridiculous slapstick. I mean, anyone who's seen The Naked Gun would know that this is just ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know how he's going to carry this off. So we'll have to see.
Let's talk about Pam Anderson.
Okay, let's talk about her.
Okay, so what is this weird thing going on? I don't know if you've seen the weird. I think it's one of those things where they're trying to create buzz for the movie by making some kind of drama off screen. So I don't know if you've seen this recently, but the love story going on here between these two?
In the movie?
In real life.
They're dating?
That's what the scenario seems to be.
I mean, you know what? Good for her. She needs an actually good man for once.
Yeah, and he has been single since his wife. I mean, I don't know if he's dated. I'm sure he has, but he has been... like, known single since his wife passed away 15 years ago, I think. So, when I heard this, because I just started seeing them on the red carpet and her talking about falling in love with him.
Wow, she actually said that?
But his expression during this was kind of weird. So it made me think this might be fake chemistry stuff like they're doing with Pedro Pascal's now. It's all backfiring on him because Pedro Pascal and Vanessa Kirby have been acting weird on the red carpet for Fantastic Four. So now I was wondering, because this is a thing they do. They try to create buzz.
Yeah, it's strange, though, because you hear so many different things. And, you know, I heard that Pedro Pascal's gay. So I really don't understand. I don't know what's what anymore.
Yeah.
So I got nothing.
You can actually probably go to our episode we did on, we did a review for the sequel to Quiet Place, the third sequel. And in that, we were talking about how Joseph Quinn and Lupita Nyong'o, I said that name terribly.
Lupita Nyong'o.
Nyong'o. Them on the red carpet being very,
I would love them together.
I know. When they were on the red carpet, they had such chemistry. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like freaking out. Like, these two together? Because...
I wish they were. I think he's dating Doja Cat. Ew.
Oh, that's interesting.
Ew.
But yeah, we saw that. We were shocked by it. And he mentioned her on one of the Fantastic Four press things recently. He said his good friend. And I was like, I remember when this happened, though, they did that press thing and everybody thought they're together. So I think this is a thing they do in the movies a lot.
You know, maybe it is like good press, you know, who knows?
Yeah. What Scarlett Johansson kissed her co-star from Jurassic Park on the red carpet recently, and people freaked out about it because she's married and everybody's freaking out about it. But I'm like, they're causing controversy. Do you not understand that they're causing this on purpose for you to see the movie?
Yeah.
So you can judge for yourself how their chemistry is in the movie.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what's happening. And people don't see them. So I think that's happening here. But I had to bring it up because I thought it was very strange.
I don't know. I mean, it's a good marketing thing. But honestly, this movie, see, the thing is, Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson dating is not going to drag me to the theater.
No.
Like, you know, I'm still going.
But I think what it does is it causes buzz, so they spread it. It's like free advertising.
Free press.
So everybody starts spreading it everywhere.
Yeah. So what if they are dating? Like, look at Meryl Streep and Martin Short. I think they're getting known.
That's awesome.
I think they're knocking boots.
I hope that's true.
Do people say knocking boots anymore?
See, that again, that could be fake because they're together on the show.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they're
really together.
I think they're really together.
I don't know what about that. That makes me extremely happy.
Yeah, I know. Because they're both amazing.
And it's just, I can only imagine Martin Short. It's just like, that's got to be the best relationship person to be with.
I know.
He is never not funny.
I know. He's great.
I can't even imagine.
And she's a freaking marvel.
She's an icon.
You know?
Yeah, I don't care. This movie. So, yeah. I don't know how I feel. When I first saw this trailer, the first teaser trailer, it was one of those things where it was like, is this AI created? Like I kind of knew it was coming, but when I saw the trailer, I didn't believe it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't believe it. Then we saw it in the theater, and I was like, this is real.
Yeah,
and
I didn't believe it either. When you showed it to me the first time, I'm like, you're freaking kidding.
Because
he's not a comedy dude. Like, he wouldn't, like, I could see someone doing slapsticky shit like this, like Jack Black, okay? If Jack Black was playing Lieutenant Drebin, I'd be, yep, okay, I get it.
No, because that wouldn't work. The whole point is it's got to be something extremely serious giving these lines. And this is what's the genius of Airplane and Naked Gun.
True.
The genius there is that these guys were not comedians. They were all serious actors.
That's true.
Making them do these roles was what made it funny. Because you just don't believe it. You know, when they get like a... And I love to see that more and more. I love when people know, oh, get this person because they've never done comedy. Like, I see Gary Oldman's always asked, well, what do you wish you could do? And he's like, well, I wish I would have got comedies. You know, or romantic love stories, you know, because I never get that. I get villains,
well,
then I
so
get stuff like that.
He's so freaking great at villains. And, you know, whenever they do him up and, like, the makeup and stuff. And
of course.
He brings it. He's awesome. So, like, that's why I'm, like, here thinking, Liam Neeson, I don't know. But he does have a particular set of skills.
Oh, geez. Wow.
I know. I'm going to see myself out.
You did that.
I did that. Such a goober.
So, yeah, I'm going in with a very cautious mind.
I've
learned recently to do that.
You know, here's the thing. It's been one hellish week. So I'm ready to laugh.
That's why we're drinking some beers.
Yes, I'm drinking. And I actually really, I love slapstick comedy. I love it. I mean, you make me laugh all the time when you like pretend to like close your leg in the car door. And
I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a minute. But I like it when you spring it on me out of nowhere because it makes it funnier. But like, I love slapstick comedy like that. And I think that this one could maybe be funny, but I just hope, I don't know. We just recently watched the Happy Gilmore 2.
Oh,
and
boy.
That movie was just pure, ridiculous, recycled garbage.
Yeah, it's and exactly what you don't want your movie to do.
Like, I don't want them to do a shot-for-shot remake of the original.
Yep.
You know, I don't want that. I want it to be fresh.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because parody movies or spoof movies in general is like a pretty dead genre. You don't, and horror, and actually comedy has become a pretty dead genre in the movie theaters. It's kind of rare that you hear one of these movies blow up. Once in a while, you get your like Crazy Rich Asians, or you'll get your Anyone But You movie, and then they blow up, and you're kind of shocked about it.
Yeah, but Anyone But You was just straight to Netflix, wasn't it?
No, that was a huge movie. It made a lot of money.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
Yeah. So it's like, that's why I see Sydney Sweeney so much.
Did you see her new ad for the jeans?
Yeah, I seen the controversy about it. They're saying that she's a Nazi.
She has good jeans, but they're just zooming up on her cleavage.
Yeah, I know. It's like, this is a jean ad, right?
Like, first of all, who gives a shit? This girl knows that she has nice hooters, and she's going to ride that train until she can't ride it no more.
Well, I think it's blowing up in her face now. I think everybody's starting to... Like, the fact that there's a controversy already and they're saying that she's a Nazi now.
Why? Okay, I don't understand Nazi thing. I didn't hear
that. They're saying that white, blonde, blue-eyed women are the perfect jeans.
Is that what they're saying?
That's what they're taking the ad as.
I took the ad as...
they're Nazi. This is Nazi propaganda.
Okay,
stuff.
Well, you see where my mind goes. My mind goes to, like, okay, she has good jeans, like jeans with a G, because she has nice big hooters.
Yeah, no, that's what they're still saying. They're seeing jeans because she's blonde.
Okay, a blonde, like, white bread chick.
Yes. So it's still jeans, and they're like, it's a...
Oh.
It meant jeans regardless, like, it's a double entendre.
Oh, wait, I get it, because isn't it American Eagle jeans? American Eagle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so people are kind of starting a controversy.
I wouldn't even think that.
It wasn't about that. If anything was made fun of with that commercial, it should be how she's speaking in it.
Very sexual.
It's more like Valley Girl.
You think so? It's kind of sultry, I think.
I have really nice jeans.
And then I saw the one ad where she's like, eyes up here.
Yeah, but eyes up here.
That's your best asset, your freaking boobs. Like, it's come on.
It's like, oh my God.
Like, she's literally riding that train, so like, ride it.
Yeah, but she's killing it quick. Some people know how to, like, keep on, like, longevity, yeah, but it's not working here.
I feel like she's making a mistake.
We're really off track.
You know, because she really is going to not be taken seriously as an actress in Hollywood. She's just,
she's like Pam Anderson in that sense, where she's going to have to come back and then say, like, oh, this is the resurgence. And they always do that, where it's like that big movie that's the resurgence movie.
I guess, but you know what? Here, I don't understand the resurgence of Pam Anderson.
She had a big movie that was almost nominated recently.
It's The Last Showgirl, which we haven't seen it. I really would like to see that. Yeah, however, she's having some kind of like existential crisis or something. Mm. I don't know what's going on.
You might want to tiptoe around that. People are all on board for it. So,
okay, I don't know anything about it, but I'm
read the all natural thing.
That thing? Yeah, well, this one I don't understand. A little bit, yeah, because she paid all of this money to look a certain way.
Now it's like turn against it.
The all done up, you know, Barbie girl with the, you know, big boobs and the blonde hair and all that.
Yeah.
And now she's taken all that back and she does, I don't know, it's weird. Like, why would you spend so much money to do all that to yourself and then now you're having some kind of revelation?
I personally, it's not something that I'm fond of because we all try to like put so much crap on our faces to try to like make ourselves a little younger and stuff. I give her credit for doing that and being successful because people are all on board for it and I appreciate and I applaud it.
Hey, I think she's beautiful. I don't think she needs all those fillers and all that shit in her face. I don't think she needs that anyway. But...
Nobody does.
Even when she was on Home Improvement, she was perfect then. You know, you're perfect the way you are. Why do you have to do all this stuff? Whatever. But yeah,
a weird conversation.
She's happy. That's great. But I hear that she's having some sort of like, you know, crisis or something's happening to her. I don't know what it is. Like,
I saw her making sourdough bread for Liam Neeson and falling in love with him. So that's all I've seen.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's good. That's good. I just didn't know. I don't really. You know, I didn't fall down the rabbit hole on that, but I'm here for this. I want her to succeed.
I do too.
You know, I want good things for everyone.
She deserves
in this
it.
Movie.
She went through enough in her life.
Yeah, she's had some freaking shit bags, and you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, you know, she chose them. She knew what she was doing. Yeah. You know, with this whole, you know, rock style, rock star life that she had. But
I think that one thing that she kind of like disavowed, that show with Seth Rogen did, I think that show was great because it showed like there's another side to this you never saw. And you got to understand that she was put through the ringer. And I thought that was an important show. And it's sad that, you know, she was kind of like saying no about it. But I understand it was bringing up bad memories. So, bringing up bad memories is hard for whoever was involved, but it was, to me, showing a good light of, like, you just didn't think about how she what she was put through. Yeah. And it's that sad. And, you know, that's a shame. But we're really, what the hell is going on in this thing? We're supposed to be like, hey, talking about a movie.
You said you wanted to talk, so we're talking.
We are talking.
Anyway, about this movie, I'm going in with a very positive attitude. I don't know how I'm going to feel coming out. I want to give this at least a 6.
Yes, me too.
But I don't know. I think it's going to be lower because I think that the slapstick is not going to hit at all times. You know?
Yeah, and I wonder, and that's what I wanted to talk about with the genres, like going away. I was trying to start that conversation about how, you know, these movies aren't successful anymore, and it's a very hard genre to even embrace because we've seen it done so into the ground that how do you do it now in today's humor? Mm-hmm. And it's so tough, right? But I look back because, like today I was listening to a podcast on, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and someone was talking about how it's very hard not to think about Scary Movie. And it's like, that's how I feel about Scary Movie, and that's how I feel about Airplane, and I feel about Naked Gun. It's hard for me to see some of these cliches or tropes in Hollywood without thinking of how they made fun of them.
Yeah.
And I think it's about time that that came back in a really good way. And I think that the people who do it the best are the animated shows. So it's cool to see Seth MacFarlane and you know, Akiva, like The Lonely Island, like that's what they do. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like perfect pairing.
Okay.
I think that this could click in the right way at the right moment. So I think we should go check it out.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go see it.
Who are you?
Drebin. Detective Frank Drebin. Thanks.
Police squad has always been the elite of the elite. And you, Frank, are the best of the best.
I need a bathroom.
I need this room immediately.
There's a line, man.
Police business. Oh, I'm gonna ruin another suit.
We've been getting hyped to the sound of the police!
Over here, Lieutenant. I think someone murdered my brother.
I'll find them. This is what I do.
Do this by the book.
Show a little respect!
Why?
Who's gonna arrest me?
Other cops?
Yes.
Is she serious?
Is he serious?
He's... no.
It seems Mr. Drebin might be more of a problem than we thought. I want you to keep an eye on him.
This oven is disgusting.
Rest assured, I won't stop until I've found justice.
What do you want, little one?
Your ass. Nobody messes with police squad.
We're back from the movies. We saw the movie, and here we are. So, yeah, I don't know, you know, I would say that this movie was, for a good chunk, I was like, this is really funny, and then it weared thin.
I would say by the last 30 minutes, I was like, okay, I'm out of laughs here.
I would say it went longer than 30 minutes. I would say it was a good half of the film. This is a weird movie where I don't hate it. I enjoyed myself. I was laughing. It made me smile throughout. But the problem is that it wasn't nonstop funny.
No, it wasn't nonstop funny. And also, I think that a lot of the laughs that we had, I think it had a lot to do with us drinking. I think it did. I think alcohol played a factor because
there are some good jokes.
I did, yeah. In the beginning, there were, but then towards the end, I was like kind of struggling to laugh, but I was still kind of buzzed. So I feel like I kind of did get some laughs in there, but not as many. So I will say this: the original is still the best.
Oh my god! I mean, even touching it.
Not even close here. I mean,
yeah, not even close.
You just can't screw with the original. The jokes with, you know, between Frank Drebin and every other character in the movie and the original just freaking hit. It just landed. It was funny. Priscilla Presley was funny. It just feels like Pamela Anderson was kind of trying too hard. I don't know. She made it kind of look effortless, but it just didn't hit the same as Priscilla Presley in the original.
So during this movie, I kept thinking to myself, what is it about this movie that isn't like landing successfully with the humor as much as the originals did? And so I kept thinking about it. And I think one of the things that it landed on was that in the original movie, every single character in the universe acted like they didn't know anything was weird.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was just kind of odd. Once in a while, you would have a villain be like, huh? And that was the thing. No character ever acted like what they were saying was stupid. It was just always like, huh? And in this movie, there's a lot of people know it's stupid.
Yeah.
So you have like, there's a character who's like the chief of police who knows that everything that's happening is wrong. So it doesn't really work how funny everything is, because you have people who are referencing that they know it's not correct or it's stupid. There's too many in joke, like, acknowledgments.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing like sits as really being funny because someone like deflates every joke.
Yeah.
And even like the actor I was talking about who's playing his partner has nothing to do here. It's like almost a straight man who is a funny actor has nothing to do whatsoever. And it's really, really, really odd. Even the villains in this movie, it's kind of like they have jokes, but they're not enough. I will say that the moments where the movie realizes that everybody should joke around are the strong parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you have a really funny segment for no reason where, you know, our lead and the lead villain have a conversation about Black Eyed Peas for no reason.
Yeah.
Now that works. That joke yeah. actually landed really funny for me. Like, because these characters were all acting like, yeah, no, this is a real moment.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of referencing that one of them knows that's insane talk. Yeah. And so those moments are strong, but there's not enough. And I feel like the movie ran out of steam and didn't know how to end. Like, they were like, oh, we're going to an ending now.
You can feel the steam running out. Yeah. You can feel it.
It's like, even like the callback jokes are not strong. Like, they didn't know how to use them.
Right.
Yeah, like the ending should have been funny. Like the end credits shot, like where they're doing the police squad.
Yeah.
Which is a great joke on police squad. It doesn't work here at all. It's strange. And I know the way that they could have done that where it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And they just didn't go for it. They kept going for more acknowledgement jokes. I don't know how to explain it why. I don't know what it is about reason humor where people don't seem to be able to grasp that comedic edge that makes it work better.
Yeah.
I don't know if it has more to do with directing and like film itself and how it's evolved, because, you know, like even the directing in this movie is stylized.
Right.
Where I feel like Naked Gun kind of understood that even the directing is a joke.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So they do that opening credits with the famous police car. And then this movie doesn't have anything. It took itself seriously. It literally opens up like it's a real movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of don't want it to. You want everything to be a joke.
Right.
And it doesn't go for that.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It just doesn't hit on all the spots that the original hit on. And it's hurt by that. It's really hurt. I feel like at some point, though, there were some things I was laughing at that I kind of felt like I shouldn't have been laughing at, because I got to tell you, the couple sitting next to me, they didn't even crack a smile.
Not one, yeah.
Not one.
I had a guy next to me who was laughing just as much.
Yeah, I could hear that guy. But at some point, I was like, okay, these people aren't getting it. They're just not getting it. They're probably born, you know, 15 yes. years ago, and they just don't get it.
We also live in a culture now where everything is a meme. And everything is like meme or viral videos, or just like everything is constant jokes.
Right.
And that everybody's humor is so different now because there's so much coming at us humor-wise. And, you know, you'll hear a lot of kids look at old humor and go, that's cringy.
Yeah.
Or that's so such cringe. And you're going, ah, come on. You know, I'm supposed to just laugh at how stupid this is. And definitely heard, our theater had a lot of people in it. And I was laughing about how you and me were laughing. Guy next to me was laughing. I heard a guy very far in the distance in the front laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy in the back laughing.
Yeah.
And I think virtually we were connecting. In is the group, but then everybody else around us were more like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because it's a different generation. I think they don't know how to laugh at this kind of stuff.
And that's what I'm getting at. That constant, like, absorbing of just different kinds of jokes and humor and not being able to laugh at how stupid something is.
Right.
And I think this movie struggles with that. I think that tone thing is a problem because
there
is multiple types of jokes. We got your spoof jokes. You got your, you know, your dad jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You got your spoofy jokes on movies, and then you have odd humor bits.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many clashes of those tones. You know, like I think that the original Naked Gun did dad jokes.
Right.
Like everything was a dad joke,
mm-hmm.
constant dad jokes. And you have to be able to laugh at that. But you also have one tone you're going for.
Mm-hmm.
And in this movie, when they went for what I would say, like, you know, like Ron Burgundy does, not the dad jokes, but they're going for off cringe, like purposely embracing the cringe,
mm-hmm.
or just oddity jokes. And I think that's what Will Ferrell used to do really well.
Yeah,
he did. And I think there's moments in here that are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one segment in particular with the snowman is a completely different type of humor that comes out of nowhere in this movie. And I enjoyed that. But it was a clash of tones with that snowman versus that other, you know, the dad humor. And when it comes in the middle of it, you're like, okay, now where am I supposed to laugh? Like, what humor am I supposed to be embracing here? Mm-hmm. You know, I would watch a whole movie about that snowman joke, but
yeah. I mean, there's some funny things about this movie. I feel like it didn't really hit the things I wanted it to hit. I really wanted it to feel that kind of nostalgia, you know, but I'm always looking for nostalgia, and that's my problem. Like, that's, you know, whenever something gets remade from like the 80s and stuff, I'm always like very skeptical, and I'm always looking for that nostalgia factor where I can go, ee, you know,
oh yeah,
and get excited about it. And I just didn't feel that here. I just feel like they were just making a spoof movie, and I do feel that Liam Neeson did okay, because he's got very dry humor. I think he did okay, but. And I'm not going to lie to you, I did laugh a lot, but I feel like the times that I did laugh, I felt like I was being judged.
I can feel
by
that.
By the freaking youngins in the freaking, you know, theater. Like, they're just like, what are they laughing at me?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the whole movie, like, as a whole. Like,
I like what you brought up, the nostalgia jokes, and I think that that's important. And one of the weird things about that, to bring that up, was they don't embrace the nostalgia at all.
No. You know,
there's, like, references to the past events or past movie.
Quickly.
Or the characters.
Very quickly.
And it doesn't do the things, like, I hate when movies do like a legacy sequel or whatever, and there's low-hanging fruit that sometimes you want them to pluck, and they don't.
Yeah.
So, like, no opening of the cop car here, or, you know, Nordberg. None of those characters, or no, like, they have the scientist character, but he's only there for one bit, and it doesn't do anything. And there's stuff like that, like, you have the music. And they only, like, embrace the music in the last credits. Like,
yeah.
The music, the cop car thing, but it's actually showing you clips of the old movies. It's like, you're not doing anything with all the great low-hanging fruit that's right there for you to pick.
It's true. Like, in the original Naked Gun, it relied also not just on Frank Drebin, but on the side characters as well. You know, like, we had Ed, and we had Nordberg and, you know, other characters that were funny. And we did have, you know, what's his name? Stingray, the actor playing Stingray. He was in this, but he didn't have anything to do.
Nothing.
Like, it was like, we didn't have any side characters that would kind of complement Liam Neeson. Like, Leslie Nielsen had complementary characters.
Yeah, they surrounded him with other serious actors.
Right.
Like, George Kennedy was a serious actor. Like,
yes, Liam he's Neeson, also a Bad Movie Night all-star.
Yes, of course. But you... the actor we're talking about, Hauser, like, he is more of a comedic actor. We've seen him in a lot of comedic roles.
But I feel like he didn't kill it here.
No, but my point is that when you hire comedians, it takes away that bit.
Yeah, it does.
You know, like, I would say, like, we have two actors who are playing the villains here are usually serious actors.
Right.
And that, when they give them a joke, which is rare in this movie, those jokes kind of land. Mm-hmm. Like, Kevin Durant has they're taking pictures of him walking to his car, and he just starts all of a sudden posing.
That was funny.
And I was like, that's fun. And you can see the actor, like, on board for it.
Yeah.
But there's just not enough of that. And if you think about the other Naked Gun movies, the serious actors are all, there's so many bits put in there for them.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, it has a very flimsy, stupid plot. That even it knows that it is, and that's the point of the joke. It's just not going for a big, like, overarching joke. And I think that really needs to be there. One of the things I could not help but think about was, like, how they seem to be setting up big jokes. And when those big jokes came, I was like, really? That's what the big plot was there? Like, it didn't go anywhere?
Mm-mm.
Like, you have all this stuff to go and, like, really go out of your way and make funny, funny jokes with them. And they just never seem to hit that. And also, can we point out the low-hanging fruit more? Because some of the jokes that you think that they're automatically going to use and embrace and really go for, like the fact that Liam Neeson has an accent, or that Liam Neeson is as old as his mother. And she just has a brief...
literally blink cameo. And yeah, you will miss Priscilla Presley. Blink and you'll miss her.
And, like, they even have a part where she's on the phone with her, and you know that, oh, she's in this universe, so they're going to do jokes.
Right.
And they don't. And mm-mm. It's like, wow, you really missed a lot of opportunity here to make jokes about how their age difference, or, mm-hmm. you know, like, there's so many things that, like, he looks nothing like his father. All of these jokes that seem to be there to write for the pickings, like, none of them get used.
Right.
Like, even the fact that, like, the fact that the captain, even police squad itself, none of it really is explored.
No, it just seems like, you know, when, you know, Drebin walks into the actual police station and stuff, it's just slapstick from minute to, you know, from the get-go. It's all slapstick. Everything that's happening in there. In this movie, though, we didn't have any of that. There was no surrounding slapstick. You know, a little bit here and there. But overall, we could have used more. We could have used moments where, like, you're looking in the background and you're like, oh, shit. You know, like, that's funny.
There was a couple here and there.
Here and there,
It started to become lesser and lesser through the movie.
Yeah, and then by the midway point, I was like, okay, I'm only just semi-giggling now, and that's not fun.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say that I thought that I was going to come out of this movie with a 6. Like, that's what I was thinking. I think this is kind of, like, mediocre. I did laugh, but it wasn't great. It didn't blow my mind, and it didn't make me, if you didn't make me laugh all the way through, at least consistently, you know, then I think that's an issue. Because you can't start high and then end, like, and then crash in the midway. You just can't.
I agree with you, but I also think that, you know, like, as the movie went on, the more and more we just started sinking into our seats.
Yeah.
I do think this is a fun movie, and I haven't seen a comedy in the theater in a bit.
It's been a long
time. Where I've been laughing a lot. I laughed really loud at least 6 times in this film.
Yeah.
at least.
We did in the beginning, but then, like, no, I said,
yeah, you know what I'm saying,
midway
though.
Midway through, we're done.
I think it's better than mediocre. I would definitely say that I would give this a 6 without a problem. I just wish it's another one of those movies where I'm like, oh man, we were so close to being something really special.
Yeah, you know? It's
like,
I know.
I feel like, again, missed opportunity is the quote of the night, because I'm like, damn, I feel like there's so many talented writers and comedians out there right now. I would have, if I had this property land at my feet, I would have called all those guys up. Like, look, if you're going to pay for anything in this movie, pay for the writer's room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pay for you don't need one screenwriter. You get some of the funniest people in Hollywood together. You get everybody, hey, some drinks, some food. We're all going to sit around and make the stupidest fun comedy ever. And I think we probably would have gotten something better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like also improvising is like a big deal. So mm-hmm. we know that like the Ron Burgundy movies, like, you know what I mean? Those movies were shot like twice. They had so many jokes, they just kept redoing it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like two versions of each one of those films, because you not only have great writers on board, a great director who gets the jokes, but also a cast who is just ready for improvising. And I do understand that when you have a cast of people who aren't comedians,
mm-hmm.
it's a little different.
That's what I'm saying.
But then you need a stronger writer.
You need a stronger writer. Yeah, but also, if you have a cast that's not comedians and really can't handle this kind of caliber, which is, it's, you know, this is not just making a couple jokes here and there. This is slapstick, okay? You really got to be on your game. And like I said, I don't feel like Liam Neeson was 100% on his game.
I think he was
doing what he was told to do, and I think he was okay at it. But I feel like this movie, I'll forget it in a couple of weeks. And I think that this, you know, I did laugh a lot, but then when you bounce me out in like the halfway mark, if I'm bounced out, we're done. Like, you didn't sell me on this movie. So that's why I'm giving it a 5.
I'm surprised, actually, but I will say that I do feel like one day I'll be watching this again and I'll probably laugh harder.
So that's the thing. I think I'm going to have the opposite effect. I think I'm going to laugh less.
Weaker.
Yeah. I don't think this has any rewatchability.
You see, the problem is with the rewatchability aspect is that we probably miss jokes. And I think this is one of those movies that's probably got a lot of stuff in it we didn't notice.
Well, hey, you know, when it's on streaming, I'll watch it again and take a gander. But
I definitely think we will.
I don't know. We'll have to see. But as of right now, it didn't blow me out of the water. I was just like, yeah, you know, I laughed halfway through and then I was done. And when you can take, you know, my high and then just relatively like sink it very fast. Like, it was like a sinking ship. It just went right down like a box of rocks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, I was on a high and now I'm not. Like, I'm just like, okay, you know?
Well, I also think our moods going in, there is a shift in the mood. Not only because we went in there on a high, literally, we had a couple beers. The beer starts sinking down and we start sinking a little bit. Getting a little like in a state. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I've seen a lot of comedies where the movies I didn't like the first time, the comedy, and I was mad about them, where they grew and grew. And because I always say that, like, comedies like grow on you very, you know, and they're like a fungus, right? They're going to grow on you. Like, mm-hmm. they're it's just bad. After a while, you start getting into it and you're like, I didn't notice any of these. This moment's really funny. This moment's funny. And I know there's a lot of comedies I know were funny that I haven't seen a second time that I think I would love now. And I feel like this might be one that grows on me if I ever check it out again. But okay. Maybe you're right, and maybe you're right that it won't. And I don't know. I do see that it's weaker than I was hoping it was going to be.
Yeah.
But I still enjoyed my time with it.
I'm glad, you know, I mean, I did have a good time with it too, but like I said, this is not, it doesn't have rewatchability. Like, we're not going to go back in and watch this and laugh at the same exact jokes again. It's not going to hit the same. The first time, yes, because it was fresh and everything is new, But this doesn't have the same kind of sustainability that the original Naked Gun had. Like, I can go back and watch the Naked Gun, and we can laugh our asses off at Leslie Nielsen and everybody surrounding him in that film over and over and time again. But this does not have that sustainability. It doesn't.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's another thing I was thinking about during the movie was, you know, what makes one better than the other? And another part of that is that how serious an actor's face can be, and how just something is small as a facial tic or movement or just an expression can make a scene funnier, and how Liam Neeson and Pam Anderson are kind of, they're not doing a lot of that kind of acting. They're just delivering the moments. I think that, you know, Liam Neeson is having a good time here. I feel like there's not that aspect of it, that that other avenue of so serious in the delivery. Like, because there's something about Leslie Nielsen, about how he delivered a line without even referencing that he was making a joke.
Right.
Just so it dead was
very,
face, like
very
deadpan.
Fluid. Like, it just came out and it was so not normal, but it was normal.
And I think that is what's missing here, is there wasn't a lot of that physical, you know, acting on the comedy. Like, sometimes that makes the joke so much more strong, at least for me. I know some kids that it might feel differently, but I grew up very heavily loving slapstick, and a big part of the slapstick was the straight man.
Yeah.
You know, you would have your Mo, you would have your, you know, I know that's really old school, but I grew up watching these reruns like crazy. You know, you have your Groucho and your stuff. So it's like, you kind of need that a little bit more. And I felt like, I thought they were going to do it more with the actor that was playing his partner. I thought they were going to do stuff more with that, and it ended up going nowhere. So I was kind of disappointed. I was like, damn,
was
they need
letdown,
more of a straight
avenue
here.
They did. Like, I mean, like I said, George Kennedy, and I mean, I hate to bring him up, but O.J. Simpson back then, when he was playing Nordberg, it was fucking funny.
Yeah,
okay.
Funny.
Like that, they all hit it. They hit it. But there's no side characters in here to support Liam Neeson, and I feel like he's trying to carry the film by himself. And yes, he has Pamela Anderson, but she's not, she just can't carry it all herself either. You know, like, she can't help him. So that's why I'm giving this mediocre, because like I said, it just doesn't have any rewatchability for me. It just doesn't.
There's a part of me that wishes like people like Seth MacFarlane or Andy Samberg would have been in this movie as like the villains. Because I think there could have been another element to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And some, maybe that would have changed it. Maybe they needed to not go with serious actors. Maybe they needed to figure that out too. Like,
semi-serious. You know, you could have picked a semi-serious actor.
We just watched, like you brought up, I think in the before, was the Happy Gilmore 2. And we were watching Happy Gilmore 2, and it's bad. And it is just like so, like, it's like a movie that begs you to remember how good the first one was, and it's kind of pathetic in that sense. But Ben Stiller walks in this movie, right? And then Ben Stiller walks in and somehow makes everything funnier.
Yeah.
Without even really having to do much.
He had to walk on the screen and literally just wear that outfit, and
it just
I
made me
died.
Laugh. And he gives this most, he's giving a terrible, doing a terrible voice with a terrible character, but he's making a face that just sells how ridiculous and funny it is, and it makes me go, okay, I appreciate this.
Yeah.
And it just reminds me of how easy it is for somebody who gets how to play this. And I know a lot of people will be like, these days people don't like certain actors like Adam Sandler, Will Smith, Will Ferrell. But it's like, Will Ferrell understands a cameo like no one else.
Yeah, he really does.
If you're going to get a guy who wants to play a villain, you get Will Ferrell to walk in a character. And if you're not laughing, you know, that's the problem.
Right, yeah.
Like, that to me, it's like, I can't help but laugh, even if it's a bad movie. Yeah. So I think that maybe these things would have elevated the movie, but I still found myself going, I enjoyed how wacky and stupid this was. And it definitely, you know, I've heard, I was having a discussion online with some of friends who were writing reviews and stuff. And they were saying like, oh, they've heard nothing but good things. And I was like, you know, take that with a grain of salt. You know, the first people to give reviews are usually the people who are working for somebody mm-hmm. or trying to get in good with the company. I'm like, give it a little bit. And I'm sure on Saturday morning or Friday morning, you're going to get the real reviews. And I feel like that's exactly what happened here was I'm like, it's funny. It's got funny bits. There are definitely parts you're going to laugh your ass off and have good time with. But overall, it's just not the comedy I was hoping for.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So, any parting thoughts?
No. I mean, you know, it's worth seeing in the theater. It's fun. It was like, you know, a fun time. But like I said, just be prepared for it to fall off midway through. And that's it. You know, like I'm just giving you a warning and blink if you miss it, you'll miss it. It's a, you know, Priscilla Presley makes a cameo from her house. So that's it. But yeah, that's it. That's all I got. That's all I got. It's it has no rewatchability for me.
All right. Yeah. So if you guys agree or disagree, I would love to hear it. Drop it in the comments or hit us up on Instagram at JustAnotherMovie9 and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. We'd love to hear your opinions and your thoughts. And we appreciate you for listening. Until next time, have a good one. Bye.
Please take a chair.
Thank you.